presents USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the men and women in the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week, till you're home from the hospitals and back from over there. Hi, gang. This is Ken Carpenter carting in another Command Performance. Yes, another 30-minute session jammed full of the top talent and tunes ordered in those letters, care of Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. And our hostess tonight, she's that talented eyeful from Broadway, really pleasing in a curvy way. It's June Havoc.
Thanks, gang. Hiya, Ken. Now, just a minute. Just a minute, boys. That's very nice and all like that, but I'd like a little respect from you. Just as little as possible.
Well, Junie, what's new around?
Oh, I know what you're going to ask, Ken. You want to know all about what shows were playing on Broadway the day I left.
You don't have to tell me. Look, the day you left New York, was it windy?
Why do you want to know, was it windy?
If it was, I know exactly what was showing on Broadway. Tell me, June girl, which do you prefer, Junie? Which do you prefer, New York or glamorous Hollywood?
Oh, now you know, Ken, in New York, you find the very heartbeat of the country's culture. One's able to view uplifting drama, attend amazingly edificational lectures, congregate with the knee-plus ultra of society.
Yes, and in Hollywood?
Well, the weather's lousy on me corns, frankly.
I see.
But enough about culture, Ken. Let's talk about you.
Oh, we don't have time, June. We got to start filling tonight's orders, like that letter from Seaman First Class Arnold Hollett.
That's right. Now, Arnold may be far at sea, but he's a Memphis boy. And he wanted to hear a southern drawl to comfort his nostalgic heart.
Southern comfort, huh?
Mm-hmm.
The case of that.
The lovely girl with a smooth voice, Connie Haynes.
Thanks, fellas, and hello, June.
Good evening, Connie. Have you met Ken Woo Woo Carpenter?
Of course. Hello, you all.
You all? Now, wait a minute, Connie. Southerners don't really use that expression, you all.
Well, Ken, these days, there's so much of you to say hello to.
Connie, girl, I think you better sing.
And the number's a special that Connie wrote for her latest Mercury record release, Binky's Little Diner. Connie?
The joint is jumping in the neighborhood. Atmosphere is groovy and the food is good. It's the place the hipsters come to flip their lids. I love my home, but, oh, you kid. Binky's Little Diner is the place to meet. Apple pie and soda pop is hard to beat. You can eat and drink until you've had enough. And if you're broke, well, it's on the cuff. Sometimes when you're hungry, you want to drop around and see how Dinky slaps that griddle without a referee. Now every Levi boy and all the Barbie stars contribute a nickel to the record bar. Woody Herman, Harry James, and O.C.D. McDinky City Diner, the place to be. Standing there at 30th Spruce. Oh, what a happy ending for a train caboose, such a happy ending for a train caboose.
Connie, well.
By the way, June, how's my announcing tonight? The type you like?
The type? You mean I have a choice?
Oh, sure, there are all kinds of announcers. First, there's the sweet, drippy type with the honeyed tones.
What's he sound like?
I like this. Ladies over 300 pounds, are you fat? When you go into a drugstore to weigh yourself, is half of you still outside? Are you afraid to wear a midriff gown because your mid hangs over your riff? Well, ladies, why don't you waddle to your neighborhood drugstore and purchase a box of no-fat. No-fat, the magic reducer. And now, ladies, before I close, I'd like to read you a letter from one of our satisfied customers. She writes, "When I stepped into the bathtub last night, I weighed 416 pounds. Then I dissolved one teaspoon of no-fat in the water. Immediately I began losing weight. I would write more, but it's so dark inside the drain."
Beautiful, Kensington. But how about the forceful, aggressive announcer?
Oh, which type is that?
Well, the kind that beats you down with statistics. He sounds something like this. I have a little lift, I guess. Scrubbo soap is laundry soap. Laundry soap is scrubbo soap. Yes, laundry soap is laundry soap. Try scrubbo laundry soap. So round, so firm, so fully packed. So free and easy on the drawers.
Yes, indeed. And scrubbo is safe. Scrubbo is harmless. Scrubbo makes your finest linens disappear like magic. Listen to this solicited testimonial.
Dear makers of Scrubbo, last night after I put a cake of Scrubbo in the wash tub, my husband stuck his foot in to see if the water was the right temperature. He found out. Sincerely, Mrs. Hopalong Schultz.
So remember, you can always tell a housewife who's used Scrubbo soap. Look at her clothesline. She'll be hanging from it.
Ah, gee, Ken, radio is fun.
You like radio, huh? Mm-hmm. June? I can tell you all about it.
Well, thank you very much.
Station breaks, that's all.
Kensington, I think we better stop pitching and fill another order. Lots of our gang have been asking for another visit from our next guest. He's here mostly because of that nice letter from Private Bob Wright and the boys at... Hey, Ken, what is this?
Borinquen Army Airfield.
Thank you very much. In Puerto Rico, it's the one and only Edgar Bergen.
There, Stinky.
Yeah. Now, please, please, please don't do that. We have a very fine audience here. Yes, we have some of the finest people here of Los Angeles. We have the best people of Los Angeles.
Here?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, no.
We have the cream of the society.
Well, it sure has curdled in spots, hasn't it?
Now, Charlie, with a nice audience like this, I think we should do something rather entertaining. How about telling a story?
A story?
Yes.
All right, I can tell a story.
Well, I didn't mean you.
I got one.
You have one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it a short story?
No, it isn't. It's a long story, Bergen.
I see.
A long story. And a dirty one.
Yeah, I mean... We're not interested.
No?
No.
What kind of story do you like the best, Bergie?
Well, how about telling something that is interesting and good for mixed company.
Yeah?
The story of Little Red Riding Hood.
Holy mackerel. I'd rather tell mine.
No. Do you know why they call the little girl, why she was called Little Red Riding Hood?
Why?
Yes.
Because she always wore black shoes?
No. Don't be silly.
Well, I tried. Yes. Wise guy.
All right.
My jolly.
Now, that's it. You apologize to him.
I'm sorry.
Yes. No! Oh, where was I?
You were right there.
Yes, yes.
Laying an egg.
Yeah, all right. No, I'm telling the story of Little Red Riding Hood.
Oh, so you were, yes.
Now, her grandmother gave her a little red short, red velvet cloak.
Yeah?
Yes. And she liked it so well, she would never wear anything else.
Wasn't it kind of drafty?
No. Now, one day her mother said, Red Riding Hood, your grandmother isn't feeling a bit well, and I want you to take her this cake and this bottle of wine.
And don't forget to pick up the empties.
No. And Red Riding Hood said, Yes, Mother.
Did she always yodel?
No, I'm not. I will go to Grandmother's house.
Or better yet, let's all go to Grandma.
No. You see, poor old Grandmother was sick, and she was very weak.
She was?
Yes.
I bet she wasn't too weak to pull a cork out with her teeth.
Soon Red Riding Hood was on her way. It was a long walk because, you see, her grandmother lived in a deep forest far from the village.
Uh-huh. Hiding out from the cops.
No.
Why did she live in the forest?
Well, I don't actually know.
Well, that's a nice sloppy piece of research, I'll say.
Well, to get on with the story, Little Red Riding Hood was walking along through the woods when she met a wolf.
Anyone we know?
No. The wolf approached Red Riding Hood and said, Where are you going, little one?
That's a very corny approach, Charlie. Now, when I meet a babe, I whistle and then I say...
All right, Charlie, please.
And I usually do all right.
All right. You want to ruin the story? Red Riding Hood told the wolf she was on the way to her grandmother's, and the wolf asked, Where does your grandmother live?
Don't tell her, Red. Don't tell her. You'll be sorry.
All right. But Red Riding Hood did tell the wolf, and the wolf wicked...
Oh, my God. You want to sit on my knee?
No.
Bear with us, ladies and gentlemen. I am practically doing a single up here.
All right. The wicked creature took a shortcut through the woods, arriving at Grandmother's house first.
Oh, I just knew that mean wolf would do something like that. If I could only do something, I just sit here helpless. Go ahead.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. When the wolf came to the house, he knocked, and then he shouted, Open the door! I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in.
Yeah. Now, wait a minute, Bud. Wait a minute. Since when has Grandma moved in with three little pigs? All right. Get it right, chum. Get it right.
All right. Yes, the wolf rushed in and devoured the grandmother.
Oh, dear. That reminds me, what time is chow?
No. So he swallowed the grandmother whole.
Yes.
He shouldn't gulp his food.
No. Then the wolf put on Grandma's long nightgown and nightcap.
Kind you wear?
No. And he got into bed, hoping to fool Little Red Riding Hood.
Why, the cad. I hate him.
All right. And when poor Little Red Riding Hood walked in, the wolf sprang out of bed and ate her right down.
Well, you can't trust anybody, can you?
No. But fortunately, some of the hunters came by just then. They slit open the wolf, and out jumped Little Red Riding Hood and her grandmother, safe and sound.
Mr. Durgan, Don't you know better than to tell a child of my tender age such blood-curdling stories?
What do you mean?
Don't you know the danger of a fear complex?
Well, no.
You have failed as a parent, Mr. Bergen. I have no more time for you. If you'll excuse me, I must finish another book.
Oh, what are you reading now?
Frankenstein and the Seven Zombies. Oh, I...
Wonderful. And now, the Johnny White Quartet with a lullaby to top off Edgar's little fairy tale, a soothing something they whipped up themselves, and they call it Mallets Are Flying. Boys?
Waiting for that bus. I can't understand why it isn't here.
Yeah.
We just have to wait for it, that's all.
Yeah.
I could tell a story.
Oh, please, not that.
No. All right. Well, I believe here comes a bus now.
A friend.
Yeah.
A friend. My name is Ursula Twing.
Oh.
That's right, it is. Uh-huh. And I'm canvassing the neighborhood and...
You are?
Well, no, I'm not exactly canvassing it either because canvas is much too expensive for me.
So? Yes.
But to tell you the truth, I'm peddling...
You are?
Well, no, I'm not exactly peddling either because my bicycle has a broken sprocket. I'm walking this week.
Now we have it. You're walking.
That's right, I'm walking.
I see, you're walking.
From house to house.
From house to
house. That's right. And I'm going to invite Framf to a party. Framf.
Yes.
To a party for my nephew, Muscles Milligan.
Oh, I see. So he's your nephew, Muscles Milligan.
That's right. He's my nephew once removed.
Oh, once removed.
No, he's been removed twice, but he came back both times.
Hey, well, what kind of party are you throwing there?
Well, it's going... And we're not going to throw it.
Oh, you're not?
No. Just, we're going to have a fiesta... And we're going to serve scads. And Well, no, we're not going to serve any scads. But we're going to have just hosts of Spanish delicacies such as tortillas and chicken enchiladas.
Looks like it's
going to be quite a party.
Oh, yes, it is. Would you like to come?
Well, now, that's mighty thoughty of you, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think we'll drop in.
You will?
Yeah.
Oh, goody, goody, gumdrop. I'm so thrilled. I'm just speechless.
Oh, stay that
well,
way.
No, no, no. Now, don't you get smart with me tonight.
No.
But I'm not speechless because I've got a speech all written out for the party.
Oh, I see you make speeches.
Oh, yes,
oh,
I do.
Oh, I knew you were talented.
I make speeches. I
That's
sure do.
That's fine.
Uh-huh.
Well,
going to make
that
one tonight.
Send them home. Yeah.
I'm going to show my photos, too.
Oh, I see you have photos. Oh,
yeah,
my.
From all over the world.
Oh, my.
I took them with my camera and...
Yeah?
Well, I didn't exactly take them with my camera either because at the time they were taken, my camera had a broken shutter.
Looks like something I got on my line at Pismo Beach.
Can we see these photos of yours?
Not until you change your attitude.
Oh, I see.
Yes, I have one with me that I can show you.
Mm-hmm.
It was taken while I was in Calcutta.
Oh, I see. What were you doing there?
Well, I was a used flying rug salesman.
Is that so? A flying rug salesman.
They used to call me the smiling Mohammedan.
Is that... Well, how is the flying carpet business?
Oh, very rugged.
Oh!
How come you travel so much?
Well, we were always poor folks.
You were, yeah.
Well, we weren't always really exactly poor folks either, but we weren't rich folks.
Make up your mind.
Well, we were rich folks, too, but we didn't have scab.
All right. Back to that again.
We lived right in the center of town, and well, not right exactly in the center. No.
I didn't think you'd
We did
there.
Not live in the outskirts.
No.
And some of the folks said that we did, and we have photos to prove that we did not. I don't think the spelmen say that we did and we didn't. And we lived in this particular town,
uh-huh.
And well, it wasn't a particular town either.
No.
Because anyone could live there, and very few did. But we lived there practically,
uh-huh.
And we didn't live practically
no.
either. No. Because we were known as being the most impractical folks in the world, and we weren't very well known either. And I can prove it, Smarty.
Well,
well, you're pretty sure of yourself, though, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Why don't you get rid of the fuddy-duddy?
I heard that.
Oh.
Yes, I did. I hope my bus comes along soon before I get into a snip, too. I'm a nervous person with an upset stomach, and you just sit there, and when I'm talking to you, you pay no respect whatsoever to me, and I'm older than you, too.
Yeah, yeah.
If that's possible, and you sit there and laugh and scorn and tease and torment and taunt me, too.
Oh, we do not.
Yes, you do.
Uh-oh, here comes the bus.
Oh, goody-goody, it's my bus.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If that's your bus, we're not going to take it.
All right, then, for you, I'm going to take it by myself. You're the loser. Goodness knows I'm not. And here I go. Goodbye.
Which is worse, Ursel Twing or your stories, Bergen? They're both bad.
Very, very fine. Thank you, Edgar Bergen and Pat Patrick. Well, June, what's next?
Another letter, Ken. It's from Corporal Tom Fredrickson, who says...
While I was in India, I saw a show written by a couple of GIs who were stationed there. The music in the show was swell. I'd like to hear some of it again. Maybe Command can help.
That sounds like a job for Connie Haynes. How about it, Connie?
Sure thing. Say, June, would you like to hear the one from the G.I. show Over and Back by Bill Post and Royal Dano?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a rainbow in the rain. Above were filled with rain. Darkness played an old refrain till a stranger passed one day, and I heard him say, just
there's a rainbow in the rain. Drop that frown, pick up a smile. Blues were never, ever worthwhile. Look, there's a rainbow in the rain. Bluebirds will soon fly by. Wrap up a dream, tie it with a scheme. Old Daddy New Year will soon wink his eye. Touch that star.
Mighty melodic, Connie, and brings another command right out to the edge of the record.
Yep, June, there's not room for much more except to tell the fellas to keep letting us know what they want to hear.
And to thank them for asking us in.
That's right, and those thanks come from June and from Ken Carpenter, Connie Haynes, the Johnny White Quartet, Pat Patrick, who plays the part of Ursel Twing.
And Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. This is June Havoc, fellas. Good night.
Good night.
With the aid of the Hollywood Coordinating Committee. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.